Hamokam Mose Roshem, that when the tzaddik leaves the city, Panaziba, Panahoda, Panahadora. So the Medrash is making this general statement. Whenever a tzaddik goes away from any city, from New York City, from Los Angeles, so it's Panaziba, Panahoda, Panahadora. Here it could be that it has an added connotation. There is a din regarding Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that the obligation to observe the laws of Yovel only apply min HaTorah b'zman shekol yoshveho aleho. The pasuk says in Parashas Bahar, across from Dror Boretz l'chol yoshveho, that's the pasuk on the Liberty Bell, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. The Liberty Bell was commissioned to be manufactured by the Jews of Pennsylvania, and then when it was sent over, so then they decided to I'm from Philadelphia, and then the whole 13 colonies decided that this will be the symbol of freedom, because they liked that pasuk. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. Gemara in Erechim comments on that pasuk. Kosam drabars v'chol yoshveho, only bisman shekol yoshveho aleho. That's the Gemara in the end of Erechim. So he says in Gittin and Hashalech talks about that din, that when the majority of the world Jewish population doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael doesn't have the full kedusha. And there's no obligation in Torah to observe the laws of Yovel. And then the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yehud, the Rebbe and the Chachamim, where the Shemitah depends on Yovel or not, because the Psukim in the beginning of Bahar say every seventh year is Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs then you have Yovel. So that's a machlekes Satanoim. Do you say a Shemitah is only deraisa if it looks like it's going to lead up to Yovel? But if you know that it's in Kol Yashvela, you don't have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, you know, in advance it's not going to lead up to Yovel, then the whole observance of Shemitah is only with the Rabbanon. I should say, no, there are two different parishes. One is Shemitah, one is Yovel. Yovel doesn't apply, b'zman she'en kol yashvela. Shemitah is menatera, every seventh year. You have to have Shemitah menatera, even if you know in advance it cannot lead up to Yovel. So we paskin, the Gemara sounds like it says we paskin like Rebbe's opinion, that if you know in advance the Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, then the whole observance of the Shemitah is only with the Rabbanon. That's why Ruba the Ruba of the paskin hold that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is the Rabbanon, because we no longer have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. So in the days of Yaakov Avinu, how many Jews were there already in the whole Eretz Yisrael? Shaila is whether you count women when you make the cheshbon. You count Jewish women or you only count men? Sometimes the halacha says in Hirius, the Yerushalmi says you only count men when you try to calculate Rov HaTzibur, whether Rov HaTzibur sinned with Chilul Shabbos or Achilas Chelev and so on. Yerushalmi says you only count the men. So if you're only counting the men, how many men are there over here? There's Yitzchak, there's Yankiv, Esav was a guy. So when Yitzchak left, the whole Kedusha disappeared. There was no longer Kol Yashveh Aleh. The majority of the world Jewish population no longer lives in Eretz Yisrael. 50% of the Jews just left. So that was a major panaziva, panahayda, panahadar. A big chunk of the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, whatever level of Kedusha it had at that time, just vanished into thin air. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is not, doesn't exist in separation from the Jewish people. The Kedusha of Eretz is enhanced when the Jews live there. When the Jews don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is on a lower level. So that's where Rashi says, Panazibahat, this is more than Stam, when the Tzaddik was visiting for the weekend and he leaves New York, he goes back to Eretz Yisrael, whatever. So the Panazibah, Panahayda, Panahador, the Tzaddik left. No, when Yaakov Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael, the whole Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is lower to a lower level. The Pasuk says, Vayivga Bamakom, Bamakom. Rashi says with a patah, biha makom, the makom hayadua, and the makom hayadua means the place that was mentioned in some other place in Chumash, previously mentioned. That's the makom ha'akedo. That's makom ha'migdosh. According to the Rambam, quotes the Medrash in the beginning of Hilchos Beis Abchira, that's the location where, according to tradition, Adam Rishon brought the carbon there. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Adam Rishon brought a carbon. The seat of Hashem is Shor Por. So the Gemara says that pasuk in Tilim is referring to the Shor Por, the carbon that Adam Rishon brought. And then Cain and Hebel brought carbonus there, and according to the Medrash that the Raman quotes, that's the place where Noach brought the carbonus after the Mabul was over. Noach brought Karbonis. And that was the Mokum HaKedah. That's the Mokum where Yankov Avinu was. Vayivka Bamokum. That was that location. And that location was Miyuchad because it was the Mokum HaShuras HaShchina. That was the first place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why it's called the Eben Shesiyah. Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOilam. That's where the first thing that Hashem created was that location. And Adam Arishon, Vayika HaKofar Minu Adoma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Kofar from that Mizbach Adoma Tasali, from that Mokum, Rashi HaChumash quotes, Kofar Minu Adoma, means Mimokum HaMizbeach, HaLavai Shetelo Kapara, Rashi quotes on Parshas Bereishis. That was the Mokum where there was more Hashras HaShchina than in the rest of the world. We don't exactly know what that means. What do you mean, Lo Chalot Kvod? What do you mean, there's more Hashras HaShchina? But there is such a concept, we don't understand what it means, so that's what this pasuk is referring to. Vayivka ba Mokum, the Medrash says on this pasuk, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mokum. So the pasuk says he bumped into this famous location, the Mokum HaYodua, which also means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's a concentrated Hashras HaShchina in that location. Why do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mokum? So the Medrash says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekom Shel Olam, Vein HaOlam Mekomo, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in time and in place. Like all other things that we people and furniture and buildings and everything in the world, even empty space, has to be within time and space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and when he created everything, created time and place. So we can't even conceive of anything outside of time and space. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamayla Men HaTeva. He's Lamayla Men HaZman, Lamayla Men HaMokum. So that's why we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that Lashon HaMokum. We usually use that expression HaMokum when there's when you go be Menachem Avil, when there's a tragedy or a choyla, a sick. So the Gemara has also such a Lashon. HaMokum Yishlach Lachom Behei Rufo Yishleim Min HaShemim. Use the Lashon HaMokum when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in hiding, so to speak. So here also a little bit, the pasuk says that Yankov Avinu was preparing to go into Golus on this occasion, and it was going to be a miserable Golus. He's going to have tzoras from Lavan, and it's going to represent the Golus that the Jewish people are going to suffer later in the history of the world, the history of the Jewish people. So that's what the Mefarshim say. That's why this expression is used here, Vayivka Bamokum, this term for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be in hiding. The whole time that Yankov is going to be in Golus is going to be trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, Hine Hashem Nitzavolav, and he promises him, Hine Anochi Itoch, Bishmaticha B'chol Asher Telech. He promises that even when the Jews are in Golus, he's going to give them a special Hashgacha Pratis. Bnei Yisrael have a special Hashgacha Pratis wherever they go. In all the years that the Jews were in Golus, they always did pretty well. With all the tzaras and with all the redifas, the Jews are always successful in all the countries, and they always get to the top throughout the history of the world. With all the redifas, the promises were fulfilled. It's interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu on this occasion, I'm giving you this land. He promises Yaakov Avinu, he already promised Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, promises Yaakov Avinu Eretz Yisrael in connection with the Mokum HaMikdash. He says, this is the Mokum HaMikdash. If you're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, then Eretz Yisrael is yours. If you're not interested in making a Beis HaMikdash, you're not interested in serving me, then you have no rights to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chazal commented on the Bris Pein HaPsorim that we read earlier. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu is giving him Eretz Yisrael, so Avraham Avinu asks, Bamoeda ki Roshenu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kholi Agli Mishuleshes, etc. So the Gemara interprets that pasuk to mean, Biskus HaKarbonis. Avraham Avinu asks, Bamoeda ki Roshenu means, Beza Skus. What special mitzvah do I have to fulfill that I should have the rights, that the Jewish people should have the rights to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Biskus HaKarbonis. You have no right to establish a Medina, you have no right to, the Jews have no right to Balabata over Eretz Yisrael, unless they plan to build a Beis HaMikdash there. They don't plan to Beis HaMikdash, they don't plan to build a Beis HaMikdash and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we talk, have no rights to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him on this occasion, he's sitting on the Mokum HaMikdash, and he realizes that, and he says, if you're making an event, to bring, to, he was Manasseh on it, and he says, I'm going to make a Beis HaMikdash. Then there's a promise that Eretz Yisrael is going to belong to the Jewish people. Rashi quotes the Medrash from the Gemara. It says originally, Veikach Me'avne HaMokon. Sounds like there were more than one stone. And then it says, Veikach Esu Eben HaShesom Merashoy. So we took the one stone. There isn't really, the Ibn Ezra points out that we don't really see the theory here. There were a lot of stones. He took one stone to sleep on. But the Gemara does not understand like that. The Gemara understands that he took several stones, and they all melted in together, they all blended in together, because each one wanted to serve the tzaddik. The Gemara has the lotion that they were merivos, they were arguing with each other. Each one argued, Alay Anir Tzaddik as Roshai. And the Mesivas Hashem points out in the Hagdamah to his Sefer that the idea, well, what does that mean? They were merivas, they were arguing with each other, each one wanted to lie on the Ech Tzadik as Rosh. The whole purpose of the Bria is in order, everything in the world should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything should be used for the purpose of the Tzadik. He really, the Rabbanu Shalom only had to create one person in the world, Adam Arishan. The whole world is worth creating for one purpose, for one person, and everything in the world is that it should serve as an ezekin egdo, should help the one tzaddik, and it should give the tzaddik ezer, means that it should help him. He needs a wife, and he needs other people to, he needs people to manufacture the bread and the Cheerios and to milk the cows. The tzaddik can't do everything on his own, so he needs other people to do the work. And then he needs kinegdo, he needs things to entertain him. He wants to look at the beauty of the world. He can't just look in the Gemara and do the mitzvahs all the time. He needs kinegdo to have a harchovis hadas. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis, he gives a mashal that everything in the world is created for the tzaddik. It gives a funny mashal that an Arab sheikh, a make-believe story, an Arab sheikh built a palace in the middle of one of the deserts, and he has his parties there with his women, and they're always having a good time, and it doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever in the big scheme of the Briyas Olam. And then a philosopher is traveling by. Rambam is describing a philosopher as the tzaddik. A philosopher is traveling by in the desert, and he's thirsty, and he's tired, and he's hungry, and he relaxes a little bit, so he takes a nap in the shade on the outside of this palace. He can't get in, he doesn't have the key to the palace. So he takes a little nap in the shade of the palace, and he regains his strength, and he eats a sandwich there, he has a drink, and he regains his strength, and then he travels on in the desert. So it was worth it that the Arab sheikh built the palace. It served the purpose of Avodas Hashem, that the tzaddik had a little hanur. So that's what the Mesilas Yisharim speaks about in the Hagdamah to the Sefer, that everything was created in this world. Baruch Alekeinu Shebara'anu Lichvoda. We say the bracha Shehakol Baruch Vada. The Baruch Hashem created not only Shebara'anu Lichvoda, created us. Shehakol Baruch Lichvoda, created everything Lichvoda. So everything in the world yearns to have meaning. Everything, the whole Bria, wants to have value. So the only value it's going to have is if it serves in somehow as Avodas Hashem. So that's why all of the stones were Meriva Zuim, so each one was fighting. Each one wanted to serve the Tzadik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what do you mean the stones have Bechira Chavshes? It does mean they have Bechira Chavshes. It means that all of nature, so to speak, yearns to have value, to have meaning. So the value was fulfilled when it served the purpose of the tzaddik, resting on the stone. It had a tachlis. There was some, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes in recent years was speaking to one of the Sofrim, who was writing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. So the Sofer was telling him that Midas Chassidus that he's makbid on, that he only writes Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on parchment that was made for manibles that were glat kosher, that were gishoch and glat kosher. The Gemara says Mikra, then you can write on or nevelus also. You're not allowed to use the Gemara in Shabbos. You're not allowed to use parchment from a non-kosher animal, from a horse, from a donkey. But from a cow you can use even if it's in a bela. So this Seifer was telling the Chassidish Rebbe that he's machmir, he doesn't even use or in the bela. So the Rebbe suggested he would have thought faker, that the behemoths that were nishchat and the Sheikh had said a bracha, so those behemoths already served Avodas Hashem. The Sheikh had said a bracha, And Jewish people are going to eat some of the meat and they'll gain strength to do Avodas Hashem. Nebacharachmanis on the Nevelis, that they never had a bracha recited over their Shechita, and no Jew is ever going to eat it because it's Nevela, it'll never serve any purpose in Avodas Hashem. So Adarabba, you should use Davka Nevelis. It would be a heated Davka to use Nevelis to get them. Even those animals should also serve a purpose in Avodas Hashem. The whole purpose of the whole world is to serve Avodas Hashem. So according to the Medrash, the Gemara, they took several stones, and then they all blended in together to become one stone. How many stones did he take? Several stones? So the Gemara doesn't say. So there's another Medrash that says on the Pasuk he took 12 stones, knowing in advance, the others knew in advance that they're going to be 12 Shvatim. And that's why when you go through the Parsha, the Gemara is also knew Binavu, they're going to be 12 Shvatim, and Leah already realized that she got more than her share. When she had more than three children, there were four wives, and each, if you divide 12 by the four wives, each one should be entitled to have three if you're going to divide even Stephen. So she has her fourth child, so she had more than her share. Four times four is 16, so she already had more than 25% of the Shvatim. So Rashi keeps on quoting from the Midrash that they all knew in advance. So there's such a Medrash on this passage that Yaakov Avinu took 12 stones, and it's supposed to be one nation. All the 12 Shvatim are supposed to blend in together to be one nation. So there's such a Medrash that says he took 12 stones and he was going to see what's going to be. If in the morning when he wakes up he's going to see that they all blended in together, then he knows that he's on the right route, that he's going to be Mamed Yud Bei Shvatim, that are going to constitute one big nation, and he's going to go find the Shidduch now and everything's going to go well. It's going to be a good Shidduch and it's going to be the Shvatim. If they don't blend in together, if there's going to be Pirud, the 12 Shvatim are going to remain separate, the Chassidim are going to be separate, and the Mesnagdim are going to be separate, and these Chassidim are going to be separate from those Chassidim, and this Yeshiva is going to be separate from that Yeshiva, then he knows that he's on the wrong route. Then this is not, he's not going to succeed in being Mamed the Yud Bei Shvatim. Yud Bei Shvatim represent the 12 different Drachim and Avodas Hashem, but all under one banner. It's all supposed to be blended in together. Ramban HaChumash points out in the first pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, so he says that lechol shevet v'shevet. What do you mean? Every shevet had its own bezin. Every city had its own bezin. Every shevet consists of many cities. So Taisa says in Maseches Sanhedrin in the first parak, what it means is that if you have one city that's cut in half, that's divided in half, so the one half of the city belongs to one shevet, one half belongs to the other shevet. So each shevet has to be mamed at bezin in their half of the city, whether you need it or not. What do you need so many Bati Dinim for? If it's a gigantic metropolis, so you need many Bati Dinim, even if it belongs to one Shevet. But it's not such a gigantic city. One Bezin would have been sufficient, but if half of the city belongs to one Shevet, half of the city belongs to another Shevet, so you gotta be Mamet to Bati Dinim in the same city, one for each Shevet. That's how Taisus learns. Ramban HaChumash does not interpret like that. He says, no, you have to have a Bezin b'chol year v'year. And the Bezin b'chol Shevet v'shevet means that every Shevet had a Bezin HaGadol. Had its own Bezin HaGadol. How does he know that that's true? It's enough in the Mishnah and Harius. The Mishnah and Harius has a machloekis satanayim. Can you bring a parhelam davar shel tzibur if told Bezin shalos or shevet? Not that Bezin HaGadol shabalishkis hagazes shabirushalayim paskin wrong. The Bezin HaGadol shalos or shevet. Ramban is just not sure whether the Bezin HaGadol shall call shevet v'shevet consisted of 71 members or only of 23 members. He's not sure how many there were. A member of Soloveitchik thought that it doesn't make sense that it should be 23. If it's the Bezin HaGadol shel HaShevet, it has to have a higher number than the lower Bati Dinim. So if the lower Bati Dinim had 23, so he thought the Mistaber is 71. But that's what the Ramban is Mesupik. The Bezin HaGadol shel kol Shevet v'Shevet, the set policies for each Shevet, to set what the Psak is for that Shevet, Bezin HaGadol shel Yerushalayim sets the policies and gives the Psakim for all of Klal Yisrael, but you're not going to bring all the Shailas to the Bezin HaGadol? Like today, you don't have to bring all the shadows to Rabbi Yashiv. There's nothing to, once the Bezin HaGadol says everybody's supposed to follow. But you're not mechuyev that everybody should follow the same psak. You can have 12 different psak, and each shevet should have its own psak. Each shevet has a different derech in Avodas Hashem, that they're all leading to the, it's all supposed to blend in to be one heaven. That's what the Mogen Avraham refers to a comment from the Arizal, that each shevet has a different approach, a different derech in Avodas Hashem, and that's why each shevet makes sense to have its own nusach hatfilo that fits in better to its style of Avodas Hashem. And the Arizal said, like Yerushalayim had in Yecheskel, and the Nevuas Yecheskel described that Lasei Lovoi, Yerushalayim will be fortified. It's going to have a wall around it, and the wall is going to have 13 entrances, and each shahr is going to be for each one of the Shvatim. Whoever knows that he belongs to Shevet Reuven should enter Yerushalayim from that gate. Whoever knows that he's from Shevet Yisachar should enter from that gate, and so on. Representing different ways to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are they entering Yerushalayim to come closer to the Beis HaMikdash? So there are different perspectives. If you enter the city from this side or from that side, means that there are different perspectives, different drachim and avodas Hashem. And then the pasuk says there's going to be a shahr hakoilel, there's a miscellaneous gate. Whoever doesn't know what shahr he comes from, so he should enter Yerushalayim, he should do the avodas Hashem through the shahr hakoilel. So the Arizal has this vart that there are 12 different nuskos atfilah, and each shevet should daven according to the nusach that fits for their derech and avodas Hashem. And then there's a shahr hakoilel, there's a nusach atfilah that's fit for everybody. And the punchline is that that's Nusach Ari. That's what he says. That's what the Arizal says. The Nusach Ari is a shahr hakoilel, that's shovel of al nefesh. That's good for anybody and everybody. If you want to daven anything other than Nusach Ari, so you got to know for sure that you belong to that shevet, that fits in. Okay. And others agree with everything up until the final punchline. They don't necessarily have to agree to the punchline. It's interesting when Yaakov Avinu reaches his destiny, so he meets these Nochrim shepherds, and his opening remark is, brothers, like the Rebbe of Shlomo Kabach, brothers, Shlomo Kabach says it to the Jews, says it to the Jewish people, doesn't say it to the Nochrim. I remember I was once on a plane coming back from Eretz Yisrael, so Shlomo Kabach walked in. Brother, he came over, he started to hug me. He didn't know who I was. I knew who he was, he didn't know who I was. he feels close to all the Jews, that I understand. But over here, he walks over here, Achai! Brothers, what kind of a Lashon is that? Very strange. Yeah, before, when the Malachim came to Sodom, and Lot doesn't... and the people in the city wanted to give the Malachim a hard time, so he says, Alna Achai Toreyu. He says, brothers, don't start up with these people. Brother, they're his neighbors. Okay, Lot lives in Sodom, whether he likes them or he doesn't like them, they are neighbors. So he says, brothers, don't start up with these people because they're my guests. But over here, a man comes, Yaakov Avinu comes, he doesn't know these people from Adam. Achai Neyayinatem. Very strange Loshen. So I saw Rav Yankel Kamenetsky's Sefer of he has very interesting comments on Chumash. So he says this problem, this difficulty bothered him for many years, and he thinks that the pshat is as follows. Yankel Avinu was opening up a conversation with them. Haydaitem Sloven Benochva Yomri Odonu Hashalom Lo Yom Shalom Hine Rachel Bita Boy Matzon. The punchline was Od Hayom Gadol Lo Yisay Asef Hamikne Hashku Hatzonu Luchu Reu. He wanted to give them to Chocho. You're cheating on the boss. You're supposed to be shepherds working for your salary, to work for the boss, to take care of the sheep. What are you calling it quits? The day is going to continue longer. Yesterday was a Yotze Min HaKlal that the sun set earlier. That was because of me. The sun set earlier. Baruch Shalom had a private deal, but today the sun is not going to set so early. Hashku Hatzon Luchu Reyu. So he says, Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky says, that whenever you want to give someone tochacha, the mitzvah of tochacha is ochech tochiach esam isecha. You have to give tochacha mitoch ahava, not mitoch sino. If you talk down to the people and you say, you shake it, you are picares, you're doing wrong, and la 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 la, so he says, you're not yet in the mitzvah of tochacha. The Gemara has a machlokes in Erechin, arechan mitzvah tochacha. Ochech tochiach says in the Gemara, filo mea pamim. Many times, even 100 times. 100 times, the guy's going to get annoyed with me. So the Gemara says, how? 1,000 times also. How often do you have to keep on giving tochacha? So the Gemara has one opinion: is ad kedei hakor, when he starts hitting you, when I keep on pestering the guy so long till he starts beating me up. That's one pshat in him. Ad kedei hakor. One pshat is ad kedei klola, when he's going to start to curse me. Then Imar has a third opinion there in Erchin. How long is there a mitzvah? How far do you have to go with the mitzvah of Tochacha? So where did the Chazal, the Tanoim, where did they get these shiurim from? Kedei Hakor, Kedei Kololo. So Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky suggests that maybe that's because the Tanoim understood that the Tochacha has to be given out of Yedidus. So once he starts to hit me, once he starts to curse me, so there's already no Yedidus, so there's no mitzvah of Tochacha. So he suggests that one should be very careful when giving Tochacha, to give it with such a tone. Just psychologically, probably it's not going to help if you speak down to the person and you just call him a shegetz and apikur. But he doesn't go psychologically, he thinks al pidin like that. And he has the feeling that maybe that's why Yaakov Avinu says, Achai. He calls them brothers, he doesn't know them from Adam. He calls them brothers because he wants to butter them up in order to lead to Pasuk Zion. That you're not allowed to cheat the balabas, that you have to put in the full day's work. So he thinks that maybe the Achai was the introduction to the Techocha, in order that the Techocha should be meaningful over here. Plus it says that Yaakov comes to the home of Lavan and he says, we're Mishpacha, achatz mi v'sori yoto. So since we're Mishpacha, so he's going to let him stay by him. Fine. So he stays for a month and then he makes a deal. It's not fair that he works for him for nothing, and he says he wants to work for 7 years and marry his daughter Rachel. So there's a famous comment that they say over the name of the Vilna Gaon on the Pasuk Ach Atzmi Uvesori Oto. There is a Gemara in the middle of Nida. The Gemara says that Shlosh Shutvim Yesh Ba'adam Avi V'Imo V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. In forming a baby, there are three partners, the two parents and the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Gemara gives you a breakdown of what each one of the parents contributes to the baby. So the Gemara says that the bus of Adam comes from the mother, and the Gidin Batzamas come from the father, and the Neshama comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. So Yaakov Avinu was so the Vilna Gaon comments on this pasuk. Yaakov Avinu was related to Lavan HaArami both from his mother's side and from his father's side. So that's why he says, that's why Lavan tells him, Ach Atzmi Uvesori Ota, we're related through the Etzem and we're related through the Bosa. The Etzem means the relatives through the father's side, because the Atzomis and the Gidin are contributed by the father, and the Bosa and the Dom is contributed by the mother. That's how the Gemara says, and that's why he says, Uvesori, Achatzmi Uvesori, with Mishpach on both sides. So that's why he's going to put him up for a month. That's a famous Gemara. This Gemara Nida, a famous Gemara in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, when Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi. First chief rabbi was Rav Kook, and then after he passed away, they appointed Rav Herzog. So when Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi, there was a big din Torah in Tel Aviv. So there was a case, a man claimed that the child that his wife had was not his child, and he didn't want to give child support. He said his wife had had some affair with someone else and he wasn't the father. The kid is a mamzer and he doesn't have to support the child. So they tested it, they made a blood test, and based on what the doctor said, it was taka right. It was impossible that he should be the father. He had this kind of blood type, and the child had a different type of blood type, and based on the klolim of blood types, it was impossible. So one of the dayanim in Tel Aviv wrote a tshuva that we cannot follow what the doctors say because it's against the Halakha Gemara. Because the Halakha Gemara says that the blood comes from the mother. The father gives the atzamas and the gidim, and the basa and the dam comes from the mother, and the neshama comes from the Baruch Shalom. So since the Gemara says that the dam only comes from the mother, not from the father, so this whole thing is a bluff. That you can tell by the blood type of the father, blood type of the child, whether they're related or not, there must be a bluff. So Rav Herzog was very upset about that. So he wrote the rabbi, a prominent Pesik, still alive, I think. So Rav Herzog wrote him a letter, how can you be so ridiculous? This is not a chiddush that the world of medicine has discovered yesterday. It's been around for quite a long time, and this is assumed to be correct by all the doctors all over the world, and it's 100% accurate. And he's very upset about those who passed in Shilas without being up to date in the medicine or the science that's necessary to be able to know what you're talking about, the pass in the Shilas. Whatever the Gemara means, we're not sure. But the Gemara says the Boso and the Dam come from the mother, but we know that the blood type can be figured out based on what the blood type of the father is. You can't say based on a Gemara that the scientists are wrong. We know that it's a fact. The pasuk says that when he was deciding he's going to work for 7 years, he's going to marry one of the daughters, so he decided he's going to marry Rachel as opposed to marrying Leah, because Rachel was a good looking girl. And when you're going out on a date, you got to marry a good looking girl. Rachel has to yifas toyer yifas mar. What's with Leah? Ene Leah Rakos. Ene Leah Rakos. She was not so good looking. That's the mashmosh. She was not so good looking. The Ibn Ezra has a comment over here. He quotes Ben Ephraim. He always quotes these Karoim. I imagine it's one of the Karoim. So he quotes Ben Ephraim, who says that the word is Chasa Aleph. Ene Leah Rakos means Arukos. The Aleph is missing. That her eyes were much too long. Her eyelashes, whatever. There was something, it was out of proportion for the rest of the body. So the Ben Ezra makes fun of him. For who are you, Chaser Aleph? He says, Ben Ephraim is really a Ben Purim. You should take off the Aleph. You should take off the Aleph from his name. He's an idiot. He's a moron. That's not the Pshat. Okay. He makes fun in Parshas Mishpatim. A couple of times he quotes the Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav is always fond of saying over, Kigach Shari Shashore Yehu. So the Ben Ezra quotes from Ben Buta. Ben Zuta. I don't know. He got Shorish, a Shoreyehu, that the second Shore is a buddy of the first Shore. The Chazal say, he got Shorish, a Shoreyehu. This Shore is owned by Ish, and the other Shore is owned by Reyehu, a friend of mine. My Shore is Negev, someone else's Shore. So the Ben Zuta, Ben Buta, whoever it is, he says, no, Shoreyehu, this Shore is Negev, its buddy. So the Ibn Ezra makes on Ein LeShoreya Ela Ben Buta Belvad. The only Reyim, the term Reya only applies to human beings, doesn't apply to animals. He quotes a lot of times from the Karoim and he makes fun of them. What's Taka the Pshat Ein Reya Rakos? So Rashi has the famous comment from the Gemara in Bava Basra that somehow it was assumed that Yitzchak had two sons, Esav was the twins. Esav was a little bit older than, a minute or two older than Yaakov Avinu, and Lavan had they were cousins. Rivka was a sister of Lavan. So Lavan had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Leah was the older one. So somehow in the family the joke was, or the word was, that the older daughter is going to get married to the older son. Leah is going to marry Esav, and Rachel is going to marry Yaakov. So Leah was crying her heart out. Why she's going to have such a bitter lot? Why she has to marry this guy? Why she has to marry Esav? She was always crying that the people always said, "Yeah, Lavan has two sons, and Lavan has two daughters, and Yaakov has two sons. So the cousins are going to marry each other." So that's why, because she was crying so much, that's why her eyes were red. Her eyes were very sensitive. Here the Targum Unkelis writes on the pasuk, the Ene Leah Yor Ayon. She had very good looking eyes, had very pretty eyes. So the Mepharshim find it very difficult. Pasuk makes a contrast. It says, Rachel Haisa Yifas Toya Yifas Mare. Rachel was very good looking. Rachel. He was in love with Rachel because she was good looking. And Leah was not so good looking. So how did he say the Ene Leah Rakos? She had very beautiful eyes. The pasuk sounds like it's saying Faket. She was not so good looking. So one of the Chassidish Svarim has a suggestion that if a person is mevazeh himself l'kvod shamayim, so that's the greatest kavod that the person can have. So over here, why were her eyes always red? Because she was always crying l'shem shamayim. She was crying that she's going to have this bitter lot. She's going to fall into marriage with Esa, which he didn't want, because Esa was not a Shem HaMitzvah. He wasn't Jewish, he was not Goy. So that's why the Targum Unkelis perhaps says she was good looking, means that because she lost the beauty of her eyes, because she was crying with Shem Shamayim over the fact that people thought that she's going to marry Esau, so that should be the beauty, that's considered a beautiful thing. When a boy is looking for a beautiful girl, he should look for a girl with beautiful midas. Doesn't have to be necessarily physical beauty, a movie star. Doesn't have to be a movie star beauty. If a girl has beautiful midas with a pleasant personality, then Mimela shall be good looking. I don't know, that's when I was going out, which was not so many days ago. I remember that was my impression. When I met a girl who was a balas midas, I had the impression that she was not bad looking. When I met a girl who was not a balas midas, I always thought the girl was not good looking. And other people said, a lot of times just to be reversed, this girl is very good looking, this girl is not good looking. I always used to have the impression as if my impression of the looks was based on the personality. That those who had a beautiful personality, so I thought that they were good looking. Those who didn't have a beautiful personality, I thought were not so good looking. So the pasuk says that he worked for 7 years, and then he marries off Leah, and then Yaakov Avinu didn't realize it at night. Ayid bo erev, he didn't realize it. Vahiba berkev hinehi Leah. So there's a medrash, the Torah Shlema quotes a medrash, a Teimani medrash, on this pasuk, that when Yaakov Avinu woke up in the morning, he realized that this is Leah. He was very concerned, he was shaking and trembling, he was boiled bilas nus. He was never mekadosh the girl, like the Gemara says. If Avkina banal kidushim inay, so shavir abanal bilas nus. So that's terrible. So he was trembling, he just violated bilas nus. So he got so angry at Lavan. How did you do such a thing to me? You machshel me, this is not my wife. So Lavan tells him, lo yosachem im kamein aloses hatsiru lefnei habechira. So therefore, the Medrash adds on, mine goyke halocha. So then this kara daito shall Yankiv calm down. Okay, if that's the mine, so be it. So there's no bilas nus. What does that mean? Mine goyke halocha, therefore there's no bilas nus. What does that mean? Mine goyke halocha is a mishnah in Bava Metzia, in Asecher Es Hapoilim. It says that according to halocha, based on the psukim in Brochi Nafshi, in Tilim, it says that the worker is supposed to work from Alois HaShachar till Tseis HaKechovim. So let's say and if he doesn't put in the full day's work, he's not entitled to get the salary. So let's say he comes to work, they never specified what the hours of employment are going to be. So the fellow comes to work like everybody else. He works from 9 to 5 and he goes home. And then the boss says, what do you mean 9 to 5? It says in Tanakh, from Alois HaShachar till Tseis HaKechovim. And often a pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. So the guy says, are you crazy? What kind of loisa shachar says kacham? Everybody works 9 to 5. He says, no, but I meant according to the halach. So the Mishnah says, whatever is the minig amakim. So it's assumed that that's kilo hisnu. What if I hire a person? I say you only have to work from 12 in the afternoon to 2 in the afternoon, 2 hours a day, 1 hour a day. Work from 12 to 1, and I pay you the full salary. Whatever they make up, they make up. The halacha that you have to work from loisa shachar that says kacham. There's a night shift also. But the halacha says if you don't specify what the hours of employment are, and he's working all day, so we assume that it means from Alois HaShachar till Tseis HaKechovim. But if they specify otherwise, it's otherwise. So that's where the Yerushalmi has that klal. Minig like halacha is on that on that mishnah, despite the fact that the halacha usually is hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. You can only extract money from somebody else if you have a raya brewer that he owes you the money. And here, what raya do you have that you only have to work from 9 to 5? The boss says, I wanted you to work from Alois HaShachar till Tseis HaKechovim, a halachic job. And the worker says, I never heard of such a thing. So the Yerushalmi says, minig ha'ikar halacha, since the minig ha'makom is that all the workers in the company work from 9 to 5. Everybody in the community works from 9 to 5. So therefore it's considered kilu hisnu. So we understand, and that's in Dini Mammon, it's always like that. Whatever is a minigam dina is considered kilu hisnu, and whenever a tanai is meaningful, so then the minig is koveya. That's the original source of minig ha'kalocha. It doesn't apply. Minig can't, a minig tzebrech tadin, and Yiddish people say, a minig tzebrech tadin. The only time a minig tzebrech tadin is in Dini Mammon, where it's kilu hisnu. So that's what in the Torah Shleima, on the footnotes, the Yes Dakasha, what do you mean to go over here? The minig goika halacha, he was sleeping with a girl who wasn't his wife. So he was over on Bila's nus. So what does the medrash conclude? Oh, that's lo yasachem im kamein, lo yasach hatzilach ne'apchira. If that's the minig amokim, it's the minig goika halacha, that's okay, you can do Bila's nus. Are you allowed to do Bila's nus? Because minig goika halacha, what does it mean? So mistama, what you have to say, that's what they interpret in this medrash. Mistama, what you have to say is, he wasn't a, he thought he's only going to marry one wife. So if it's a choice of one or the other, he says, I want Rachel. But the father says, no. Lo yosachen de minigis, we don't marry, the younger sister doesn't get married before the older sister. That's why, according to the minig, I followed the minig, I gave you the older sister, and I'll give you the, we, our agreement was, you're going to marry Rachel, that's next. You'll marry Rachel next. You work another 7 years, and you'll get Rachel. So he says, okay, I'm not opposed to marrying Leah. So somehow the Medrash assumes that it's not considered a Kiddush HaTorah. Let's say a guy buys a car, he buys a brand new car, and he pays for it, and he drives off with it, and he realizes that the brakes don't work. Mamash HaMekach Torah, he gets his money back. So let's say he realizes that there's a major gash, a brand new car, a major gash on the front of the car. Looks awful. He didn't realize it. Also, it's a Mekach Torah. Well, what happens? There's a little scratch somewhere. It doesn't really make a difference. So then it's not a Mekach Torah. A tiny little scratch on the bottom of the car, there's a scratch. What if there's a scratch on the side of the car? And the guy doesn't care. He's gonna drive in New York. He's gonna be scratched up tomorrow anyway. So if it doesn't bother him, so you don't say that it was a Mekach Torah. But later on, he was masking to keep it. If the nature of the mum is such that it doesn't bother him, so it's a glowing Muslim affair that it was never a Mekach Torah. So here also, true, he agreed to marry Rachel. He wasn't opposed to marrying Leah. If it's a choice of one or the other, Rachel was better looking. He loved her also. He loved Leah also, the Mefarshim say. It says he hated Leah. It doesn't mean he hated Leah. It means that he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. But he was happily married with Leah also. So when the father tells him that's the minig ha-makom, he says, okay, minig ha-kalacha. So there's no Kiddush HaTorah. Maskim, so it's a glory Muslim affair that it was a good Kiddush. That's how some interpret this Medrash. Taisus has a discussion of this. Lo yosachemim kamen alosas hatzir lefnei abchirin, the second parak in Kiddushin. Taisus discusses they didn't have boys going out with girls on dates forever and ever. A boy approaches the girl's father and he says, you have a daughter? Father happens to have two daughters, an older daughter and a younger daughter. And this guy's older than both. He can either marry the older daughter or the younger daughter. So he says, he gives a ring and he says, I want to marry your daughter. The father says, good. So, marry to the daughter. It's Makabal Kedushin. He didn't specify which daughter. He didn't say whether the older daughter or the younger daughter. So do you consider that a case of Hare Achas Mishtei Benoisayach Mikudoshes Li? So it's a question of Kedushin Shalanim Sri Labiya Machleg Sabai Verova. Or do you say, no? Rabbi Natam says, Lo Yosechemim Kamein Olosas Hatzira Lefnei Abchira. So it's self understood that he's marrying the older daughter. Because since the minig is that we have the children get married, or at least the girls get married in the order of their age, so that's self-understood that that's what he meant. So Taisus has it, Rabbein and Tam backed that. First Rabbein and Tam said, all the daughters married. Then he said, Mishum Chumidei Shesish, maybe we should treat it like it's a Safi Kiddush. A discussion of Taisus, how this minig, when the Hele Gezeda Delta Zeda Lovon, how this minig applies to us, this manazeh. And then he tells Malish was us v'nitn l'chol gam ezos. First, let's finish off the shivus imei amishter. That was the old minig. The Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi that Moshe Rabbeinu was mesakin shivus imei avelus and shivus imei amishter. I mean, he was mesakin that you should do it, but he didn't invent it yesh meyayin. That was the practice that they celebrated shivus imei amishter. So he says Malish was us. First, finish off the shivus imei amishter of Leah, and then v'nitl l'chol gam azos, we'll let you marry Rachel afterwards. So the Gemara derives from this pasuk the principle of Ein Yarvin Simcha b'Simcha. That you're not allowed to use the same shivus imei amishter for two different wives. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, that a person has the right to marry. The Rambam is before the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom. So he says a person has the right to marry more than one wife, provided he can afford to support, he's making enough money to support all of them. And then he said, Manazet's not allowed. Number one, because of Din and the Malchus, and number two, because of the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom. But the Rambam was writing before either of these laws applied. And then he says, Bavad, but provided he has to spend Shivas Imei Mishnah with each wife separately, because he can't kill two birds with one stone. He can't say, we're going to have a big Sheva Brachas for all of my five wives together. Me and all the five wives together. No, you have to have 1 week Sheva Brachas with this wife, and 1 week Shivas Imei Mishnah with the second wife, and 1 week Shivas Imei Mishnah with the third wife, and so on and so forth. That's what we spoke about. Let's say he only marries one wife, he doesn't have five wives. But they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They have the chasana here, and they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, so they want to save all the Shivas Me'am Mishnah for Eretz Yisrael, where all their friends are. So can you do that? Can you postpone the Shivas Me'am Mishnah? Here the Rambam says he can postpone. The first 7 days he celebrates Shivas Me'am Mishnah with wife number one. He married all five wives on one day, the Rambam writes. That's how the Rambam writes. He can marry many wives on one day. So the Shivas Me'am Mishnah for wife number two is next week, and the Shivas Me'am Mishnah for wife number three is in another 2 weeks. So that's a question that Rav David Kalina has in the Piskei Halachos on that Rambam. What if he's only marrying one wife? Can he also postpone? Or do he say no? If these 7 days are already nikvah, the Shivas Me'am Mishnah for wife number one, then the next 7 days that can possibly be nikvah, Shivas Me'am Mishnah, belong to wife number two. But if you only marry one wife, you can't postpone all the Shivas Me'am Mishnah for next month when I have time. So he's not sure what the din is in such a case. There is a question whether you apply the principle of Mitzvah Hayom Kekuloi to Shivas Me'am Mishnah. You say on the morning of the seventh day of Shivas Me'am Mishnah, you're finished, if you want to. You're finished, or do you say no, you have to wait till the end of the whole day. I remember what happened was on the last day of my Shivas Me'am Mishnah when I got married, so I didn't come to the yeshiva the first 6 days. So on the seventh day, one of the rabbis in the yeshiva died, Rabbi Paleo. There's a sign here, I don't remember. This room is dedicated to Rabbi Paleo's memory. Yeah, he used to give shiur in this room. This room used to have the elevated platform because he was an old man. When he died, then he can hardly, his voice couldn't carry. So they made that concrete elevation so the voice should be able to carry better. So his funeral was on the last day of my Shivas Me'am Mishnah. So I went to the yeshiva. He was a very beloved Rebbe. Everybody, I was never in his shiur, but everybody loved him. He was always a mekarev all the time, and he was always very friendly with everybody. He was always giving everybody brachas. So I remember I went to the yeshiva, and then I was already in the yeshiva, so I went to shiur. So after shiur, we daven mincha. So there's a question whether they should say taknun, because I was a chas in the middle of Shivas Me'am Mishnah, but maybe you say mikzis hayom kukuloi. So somebody asked Rav Soloveitchik whether they should say Tachnun. So Rav Soloveitchik said over the Ran that we just learned 2 days ago, the Ran in on Daf Ches and Ksuba says, what does it mean Shivas Me'am Mishnah, that the Chasen is Meshubit to the wife, to entertain his wife for 7 days? So he says, the Chasen cannot unilaterally decide to hack off the Shivas Me'am Mishnah. The din of Mikzah Em Kekula is, let's say, Azav, Zavo, a nazir, so it's totally in one person. So he said he brings his karbonis in the morning and finished. The nazir brings the karbonis and he calls it quits. So the zabah, the zabah, they go to mikveh in the morning and they call it quits. Finished. But if the nature of the malos of the 7 days is that the chasim is meshuba to entertain his wife, what do you mean the chasim decided he wants to call it quits? He has to ask the wife whether she's masking to be mevater on the remaining of the Shivas Me'am Mishnah. That was what he thought. So one of the Achreinim, one of the Mekubalim, the Ramam Ipanu, writes on this pasuk, Malei Shvuazos, you have to fill up the full 7 days, and from this phrase, Malei, you derive that you don't apply Mitzem Kukula to the Shivas Me'am Mishnah. And the reason that he gives is, he asks a funny kashin. Why don't you, on Shabbos and Yontif, why don't you just observe Shabbos in the morning and call it quits, Mitzem Kukula? Or Yontif, let's say Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, observe the morning and then say Mikzah Yom Kekula. So he says no, Mikzah Yom Kekula is only in Inyani Tumah, in Inyani Avelis, in Inyani Nidu, Yicherem, the Gemara has, and sad things, Tumah Digger things, and you want to get rid of it as soon as possible, you want to shake it off. So then Aloha, the Pasuk says by the Zava, Mikzah Yom Kekula, you derive from the Zava to the Zav, and to the Cherem, and to the Nidu, these kind of things. But if the Dovah Shal Kedusha, Dovah Shal Simcha, the other Rabbi, you want to be Moisif Mechayil Ala Kaddish, you want to expand, so the halacha that gives you the right to chop off in the morning doesn't apply. So that's why by the Shivas Me'am Mishnah, it's an Inyan of Simcha, you can't chop off. The halacha says, Malei Shvuazos. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in the beginning of Nozir, in the Gilyoni Hashas, in the first parak in Nozir. He says, a nice idea, but it's against the Gemara. Because the Gemara has a machlokes where they say, Mikta Sayyim Kukula by Nozir. Nozir is also Kaddish Yiyah. Nazir has a Kedushas Naziris. Why does he chop off the Kedusha in the morning? You should say Malay. You should say fill up the Kedusha for the full 30 days. Why should you have the right to chop off in the morning? So he doesn't like the whole, he thinks that Rasha. He doesn't like the whole idea that the Ramam Ipanu suggested. Pasuk describes later the way they're having one baby after the other, and Rachel isn't having any children. She's understandably very aggravated. So she pleads with the husband, Havali banim imayim nesa anoich. Very strange pasuk. What does she want him to do? Havali banim. Well, go to the store. Go to the drugstore and buy me some babies. What does she want him to do? What is it? My fault? Do I control the situation? So what did she mean, Havali banim? So some interpret along the lines that Rashi wrote in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Rashi quoted from the Medrash that for 20 years Yitzchak was married, didn't have any children, and then they were both davening. They were both davening, and Hashem answered his prayers. Why didn't he answer the prayers of Rivka? Rivka was probably crying. When a couple does not have children, usually the wife cries more than the husband. The wife is more sensitive than the husband over her inability to have children. So why is Vayyasa lo Hashem? Why does Hashem answer his prayers? The Rashi quotes lo v'lo lo, ein adayim tefilas tzadik ben tzadik, tefilas tzadik ben rosh. So that's what some of Farshim say over here, that she says to her husband, Havali banim, I want you to daven for me. So he says, why don't you daven yourself? So she says, ein adayim, you know from your parents, ein adayim tefilas tzadik ben tzadik, tefilas tzadik ben rosh. So she's pleading with her husband, I think your prayers are going to do the trick. I'm praying already for so long, nothing is helping. You have to be mispalel for me. He wasn't davening so hard because he already had other children. He had four wives, he had other children. So he wasn't so concerned about the problem. So that's why she was upset at him. You have to start davening. Your prayers are going to do the trick. It's interesting, Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky points out, from all of the Shvatim, it says that the mothers gave the names. I have 9 babies, my wife gave all the names. Each baby has 2 names. It had nothing to do with any of the names. My wife carried the babies for 9 months, and she picked all the 18 names. Each child has 2 names. So over here also, Yaakov Avinu has all these babies. He only picked that name for Levi. He doesn't pick the name for any of the other babies. Very interesting. So Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky suggests, perhaps based on the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes that Yaakov Avinu, Avram Avinu had this new religion, monotheism, Judaism, and he's transmitting it to Yitzchak and to Yankim. Then Yankim transmits it to Levi, and he appoints Levi as the Rosh Yeshiva. That's the Lashon of the Ram. They had a big yeshiva, and he appointed Levi as the head of the yeshiva. So somehow he felt that Levi was going to be, and then later, Yaron Shpatech HaLiyagim, Saras Chalisol, Shevet Levi is supposed to be that Shevet that's Kula Kodesh. They're supposed to be the people who are dedicated to teaching Torah in Klal Yisrael. So that's what Rabbi Yankov suggests. Maybe because Yankov Avinu felt that through Levi he was going to be able to transmit the Torah, Ikam Mesiras HaTorah is going to be through Levi, maybe that's why he picked his name, as opposed to the other children's names, that he let the wives pick the names. A suggestion that he makes. After all the years that he stays there, and 7 years for this wife, 7 years for the other wife, then another 6 years, he says, it's time to leave. So he has a dream, and he tells his wives, anyway, like his small shilshon. Right. So first of all, then he tells that to his wives, like his small shilshon. So Pashup shat that he sees that Lavan is jealous of him. So one of the commentaries points out that there is a Yerushalmi, Taisus in Rosh Hashanah quotes this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says a psychological umdine, that man do'achal de'lav di'day, one who is living off of someone else is supporting me, and I don't earn the money at all. Boy, is listakula bi'api, so you'll be embarrassed to face the guy. The one who's receiving the tzedakah is always embarrassed to look at the other one. So in the beginning, when Yankov came and his uncle put him up for a month, so he was living by him for nothing. So Yankov felt a little embarrassed to look at the Lavan in the face because he was doing him a favor. But then after the years went by, he says, "Well, yeah, Yankov is Pnei Lavan. He could stare him straight in the face. Wasn't the way it used to be earlier that he was embarrassed to look him in the face. He realized that all of the Ashiras that Lavan had is because of his chus. Lavan is mooching off of him. He's not mooching off of Lavan anymore. So that's what he says to his wife. I can stare your father straight in the face. Anyway, like his small children, not the way it used to be. The Rebbe Shalom is giving me a bracha. Your father's getting rich. My cheshbon. It's not that I'm mooching off of your father. So I'm no longer embarrassed to. That was the simon ledava. He's no longer embarrassed to stare loving in the face. So he realized that he's no longer living off of him. When they left the father's home, so the pasuk says that Rachel took the trophim. And the Medrash says that she didn't want the father to worship Avodah Zarah. He wanted to spare the father from worshiping the Trophim. So when the father came, when Lavan comes chasing after Yankim, and he says, Lama ganafta salahoy, why'd you steal a Trophim? So he says, go, I didn't steal your Trophim. Go look, search wherever you want. You find the Trophim. Ima shetimtza salecha lo yichya neged achinu. Hakeno, go find the Trophim. So he starts looking around. It says that Rachel had hidden the Trophim, the karagomo, in the saddle, and she was sitting on top of it. So when Lavan was looking, couldn't find, so she excuses herself. She says, "Ayicha beinei adoni, I apologize, Dad. Lucha lokum upanecha ki derech nashim li." So the pasuk sounds like that was the end of the conversation. So the Ramban has a comment on the pasuk. Why didn't he carry on? It's his daughter. Why didn't he continue to carry on the conversation? So he says, the minig was at that time that when a woman was a nida, they wouldn't talk with the woman. They wouldn't want to be in the same room with the nida. They thought that maybe it's contaminated, polluted air, or something like that. That's the word nida. Nida means hisrachkus, to stay away. So they used to stay away. Bismana tanoim. You have in the Mishnayos, in the end of nida, that the nida used to sleep in a different bedroom. She slept in a different bed. That's a different reason. She slept in a different bed because the Mishnah Mikvah talks about the bed being Tomei and taking the bed to the mikveh every month. So that's quite a pain in the neck. Schlep the mattress and the bed to the mikveh every month, and it's not going to, the Mishnah discusses, the scribe's not going to fit in because the bed is too tall. So you have to lean it sideways. You have to push it, the feet into the mud. But the feet are in the mud, so it's not in the mikveh. So it's a whole discussion in the Mishnah. How you table the bed is too big. So in order not to have that headache every month to be table a bed in the mikveh, so you used to have a separate bed. But that we understand a separate bed. But the Mishnah has, he used to have a beis atumas. The woman would sleep in a separate bedroom. Not only all the clothing would be different, because whatever she touches is going to become tummy, but they were always marchik the nidah. Even the nachlis used to be marchik the nidah. In the Pirush HaMiyuchas LaHaravid on Maseches Tomid, he quotes a minhag from the Balei HaTosfos that a kohen whose wife was in a state of nidus would not duchen in shul. The Hachaka would even go so far. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote an old minhag from the days of Rashi that a woman who was a nida wouldn't look at the Sefer Torah. Many had the minhag she wouldn't come to shul. Many had the minhag she wouldn't say Krishna, she wouldn't bend, she wouldn't daven. The Mishnah Berurah said that's scandalous. When really wouldn't daven? They have to daven. You don't want to look at the Sefer Torah. No, mechteis, do whatever Hachakas you want, out of cover that Torah. But not to daven, not to say Krishna. That doesn't make any sense. But the Rambam points out that that's the mashmois of the pasuk here. Once she told the father that she's a nido, so that was the end of the conversation. He didn't give her. Rashi says he knew she was a troublemaker. Rashi goes, she knew that this one. That's why he kept on looking in her ohel. Once she said she's a nido, so that was the end of the conversation. So he just tiptoed out, and now he didn't pursue it further, because that was the meaning that they would make a harchoka from an isha nido. Okay, I have to apologize. Something came up this morning, and I have to leave. So we'll have to make tashlumin some other time.